Hello, hello, and happy tax day. Welcome to Coda Radio. Yes, I'm recording this one late because, when I recorded last week for this monthly feedback news show, I did it on the wrong input. It's kind of the downside of not having a guest on these episodes. I sometimes don't pay attention, and Zencastr picks up the closed microphone, the closed lid microphone of my MacBook Pro. So kind of the worst possible mic. If it picked up my studio display, probably could have been cleaned up, I was told. But this is where we are. So anyway, let's jump into the show. So first up, we're getting a Stream Deck. Should be up and running next week, I hope. I need some suggestions on the kind of funny clips. For those who don't know, a Stream Deck is it's like a little box with a grid of things. You tap it and it plays audio into the stream. So suggestions we've gotten so far. Rin and Stimpy. I put Encourage the Cowardly Dog kind of along the same lines. And I think someone suggested Nixon, although that might just be my wish casting. We have room for, I would say, a dozen of these. And obviously, they're going to be short, right? DMCA is a thing. But I thought it'd be fun if the community could kind of pitch some in the Discord. Go to the Coda Radio Discord, link in the show notes. Yeah, Jar Jar probably going to be there, right? Business? Although I can just do that myself. I don't know. So we'll see. Now, your feedback. Here we go. The number one thing that I received via every channel this week was, well, I think it's best summarized as tariffs, WTF, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. I am not going to pick one email to read for this because, well, few of them are like this actually, because there are too many. I get it, right? People are pulling their hair out. People are worried. It definitely creates instability both personally if you're purchasing things and as a business, obviously, it is worse. I know for just my own experience, it's worse, right? Every meeting I've had this week with clients has been, and it's only Tuesday, by the way, someone has mentioned tariffs and like how that's going to affect things and if they're, going to be a downturn or whatever. I would say, look, this is so volatile. There's really no way to formulate a grand plan for our small business listeners or even for myself. If you can put off buying things that are subject to tariffs, that's what I'm doing. That's probably a good idea, right? Because it seems like these tariffs will not stay forever. And I know, trust me, I am the king of lack of self-discipline in terms of purchases. But I'll put it this way. The original version of this episode that I had recorded had a very different segment on tariffs. And that was recorded just a few days ago. I think it was like Thursday. So it's moving so fast. Just take a breath. I would even like, if you can, just don't buy anything for a month. Let's see where we land. Not like anything, right? But anything large, right? If you were considering like a large server purchase or hardware, stuff like that, the tariffs would be significant. Although they might not be now, right? Because things are getting exempt every 2 seconds. So I don't know. My plan, pretty straightforward. I'm just going to chill. April's a busy month anyway, right? You got Easter, you got Passover. I just don't like April and May in general. I can't imagine why. I'm just going to note today is the 15th of April. And my fellow Americans, I think you know what that means. So that's great. Okay. Next piece of feedback. Again, related to tariffs. OMG Switch 2. I did not understand how many of you were hardcore Mario Kart and Donkey Kong fans. Okay, that's cool. I like Mario Kart. I, of course, we're just a little tiny show, right? So I didn't get to play with a Switch 2. Yeah, it's expensive. I mean, the most common thing, I think 10 of you actually sent me a lot of Twitter DMs about this, that the price was too high. It's pretty high. And they pulled the pre-order. I do think it's worth it. I mean, especially if you are a gamer or you have kids. From a technology perspective, it's pretty interesting. And I'm kind of surprised this hasn't gotten more coverage in the more like gaming-centric press. But they've chosen to optimize for performance over battery life to the point where they're taking a pretty significant hit in what they claim the battery life range is, as opposed to the regular Switch, right? I guess Switch 1 now is what you'd call it. That is an unusual choice. Normally, when you see consumer electronics, particularly gaming consoles, it's always, Switch 2 should be just like Switch plus, Switch better. And in many ways, it is. So I would be curious to know if Nintendo has telemetry, because that's going to be a big topic we're going to have on the show in I think a month. Someone who does a not open source but commercial telemetry thing that says that, like, maybe I'm the weirdo, right? I like when I play on the Switch, other than with my kid, which is actually, I take it back, the majority of the time I play on the Switch is with my kid, and it is docked, hooked up to the TV. So maybe that is the most normal case, and they're optimizing for that. Why I'm putting it right after the tariff story, it is also impeded right now by tariffs. As of recording, the pre-order was postponed? Question mark? With no promise of when that is going to be resumed. The launch is still June 6th, I believe. I don't know what to say. Right. Again, I my advice on this is take a breath, deal with it in May. I don't know. If you absolutely tootly have to have a Switch 2 on June 6th, then yeah, write a script that checks Nintendo's website for when the pre-order is open. The nice thing is they are making you register with your Nintendo account. It has to be one that's active. So presumably that will keep, I'm not going to say all, because scalpers are pretty, scalpers tend to be pretty, let's say, cunning when it comes to screwing people. But I think you'll get one. So I don't know. Maybe I know some of you are pretty hair on fire about this. I feel like they're just sitting back and waiting to see, all right, is there going to be like a whatever percent tariff that they have to, frankly, adjust the price for. So that, before we get into more fun, we have an ad. This episode is sponsored by Mailtrap, an email platform developers love. Try for free at mailtrap.io. There's a link in the show notes. Welcome back. So our next thing, I just kind of wanted to go in for news items. Kamal or Doku for Rails 8. As you know, from a few weeks ago, we are just celebrating Rails' 30th anniversary, I believe. I hope I'm right. I could be wrong. It might be 20. I think it's 30. Let's call it 30. And Rails 8 and DHH and crew have gone a little opinionated again. They've got Kamal, they've got Doku, and somebody from a few weeks ago had written in asking, and I apologize, but you didn't fill out the name thing on the form. So it just came in as anonymous. So maybe you meant that. That's cool. Can you use Kamal with Rails 8, right? So Kamal is the default DevOps deployment thing in Rails 8, and use something like Docker or Doku. So yes, you absolutely can, right? So let's say you have, and I literally have this right now. Actually, it's all going to be around lunchtime soon. I was this morning working on an application that it's a relatively new. So I'm just deploying with Kamal for dev testing. Next to it is the core of Alice, which is deployed in a Doku container. I think the writer here, though, kind of needs to just think about what you're trying to do, right? So the advantage of Kamal is you do Rails new, you configure a couple variables basically, and you're ready to rock. The disadvantage of Kamal, and I think it's a somewhat significant one, is it is quite opinionated. And if you already have a way you like to do things, this might be me being an old man here, you're probably going to prefer whatever your prior solution was. So I'll use the real case here, right? My case is I've been using Doku for years. I like Doku. I think it's a good balance between convenience and robustness. So while I do have this application for dev purposes, deploying with Kamal, I'm going to change that to just be Doku. But there is a bigger thing here that I think maybe a little more research would help with. Doku, Kamal, and what you just said, Docker containers, which I think just the way it was written, the person meant Docker Compose, are all just stuff on top of plain old Docker containers, right? A Doku is Docker containers using the old Heroku build packs, with an asterisk, because now Doku has their own build packs. So if you actually watch it, what it's doing is it's just like bootstrapping up a Docker container, running whatever scripts and whatever configuration your chosen build pack has, and voila, right? There's a convenience plugins for things like Postgres, has a Let's Encrypt plugin as well. I mean, I mean, I've deployed things like Seaweed, Minio, all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, what Doku is doing is it's a tool to deploy vanilla Docker containers. Well, why is this relevant to the question about Kamal versus Doku? Well, Kamal is just deploying Docker containers. So at the end of the day, the thing that's running on your server when you go to production or staging or whatever are Docker containers, no matter which one you use. Now, it is maybe more convenient to just pick one, which is why I'm right now sticking with Doku. But it is absolutely true that with any of these solutions, right, you could just SSH in, I'm going to get the syntax wrong, but, you know, Docker enter my container, right, whatever your container is, and voila, same thing for all of them. You might not want to, though, right? Because so, for instance, with Doku, one I'm most familiar with that I use day to day, well, there's a lot of convenience methods that instead of entering the container and doing things manually, you just like, you know, Doku apps, URLs, Doku, what are you, just a bunch of common tasks that it has pre-built for you. Additionally, the build packs on Doku are specific to the platform and language that you're developing in, or I should be more careful with that, the type of software you're deploying with it. For instance, there's a Rails build pack, right? There is a Node build pack. There are Doku build packs, in quotes, for things that aren't even development platforms. i.e. Seaweed, right, is one example, which is a file storage solution that you can open. It's open source and you can run it on your own server. I actually like it a lot. If you're looking for something that mirrors the S3 API, Seaweed is a great choice. So in short, to answer your question, should you use Kamal, Doku, or I'm going to guess you mean Docker Compose. It doesn't matter. Pick one. If you're pure Rails and you want to do as little configuration and you're not super interested in learning the DevOps stuff, then Kamal is going to be your path of least resistance. I will tell you that learning the Linux server-side stuff, I would, you know, recommend you listen to Linux Unplugged on JB. I would mention you take a look at learnlinux.tv. Jay is great over there. He's got a lot of good tutorial videos. You're eventually going to need it as you level up because, I mean, I'll be honest, I spend at least 20% of my time doing Linuxy server stuff now because things get complicated, right? You have multiple containers, multiple jobs, you have cron jobs, you have all kinds of weird backup requirements. If you ever end up working in a area or field that has compliance issues, let's say HIPAA or I don't know, something like industrial or aviation or something, you are probably going to have to stand up to some scrutiny on, okay, well, I want to back up the database. I want to back up this. I want to do that. Well, how do I do it? Knowing some of the more common accepted patterns and methodologies used by, you know, more pure, I don't want to say trustworthy. I think I mean stable, right? Like stable solutions on Linux for these things is definitely just going to be a big plus for you, especially in today's competitive market. So I don't know, man, don't fear the tux. But yeah, for just deploying your first app here, if you want to stick with Kamal, totally good choice. And frankly, if your goal is to be, you know, a pure Rails developer, Kamal's a great choice. I mean, there are Kamal super users. I have nothing against it. So, huzzah. Okay, so next up. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We all thought Marky Boy might be Commander Data. Turns out he was a Cylon the whole time. The man was just testifying, Mr. Zuckerberg, at the Meta antitrust trial. I decided to torture myself and read everything I could find on this for you. You guys owe me a herbal tea. It is the most asinine. Like you can get Fate Meta's, their little deck for the judge that they published. And all it is this crazy argument of we're not a monopoly because what even is the market? Which I would refer you to like Neil Patel on The Verge because he's an attorney. And two, he does a much better job of this. Oh, holy crow. It is so crazy. Like if you look at the kind of criticism in the media and by politicians that Meta's been getting, and you look at what this trial is actually coming down to, or at least opening, right? Because this thing's going to go on for a while, but it just opened. It's a totally different conversation. I don't know. I don't have a dog in this fight. Should Instagram and WeChat, I guess, be removed from Facebook? Yeah, whatever, maybe. the impression I get just from, like, you know, my 17-year-old stepdaughter and her friends and kids that I know, right, from living in a town, is Facebook is for old people like me. I can tell you that it definitely is. My primary uses for Facebook are posting pictures of the kids so the aunties back in New Jersey can see them, and the weird community page that my youngest is public school for some strange reason uses Facebook for all that stuff. So yeah, it is. When I say, like, all that stuff, like, the teacher will post homework on Facebook. So it's just a way I use it, right? And something I have to do. So I don't know. Is this in many ways yesterday's battle? I think it kind of is. Who knows what the next platform is going to be? I think it might be TikTok, obviously, right? Because the numbers don't lie. Everybody's, you know, trying to recreate that. I think Instagram has Reels. Facebook has something. YouTube has, I don't know what they are, but they look like Dr. Mario pill capsules, and they're obnoxious when I'm trying to scroll through it to find something I wanted to watch. So, but they're effectively TikToks. I don't know. Does this matter? Will Facebook be broken up? I think the answer to will Facebook be broken up is no. If you guys care more about this story, I'll follow it. Let me know. If you don't, that's okay too. I'm at the point of, to be honest, being more interested in things that focus on, you know, interesting startups, changes to platforms, new libraries, developer enablement, all that good stuff. Last up, yet another Facebook. I'm sorry, Meta. I apologize, Mark. It's Meta. They have a secret LLM model, which LLM model is a redundant way to say that. That if you believe the thing they released, I think it was yesterday or Friday, is kicking the crap out of everybody. Now, again, this is all this AI stuff is shrouded in quite a lot of mystery. What I read is that basically Facebook made this model with an eye toward the test, right? There's a test that these models take to see, you know, how sentient's the wrong word, but how good they are, basically. So they're teaching through the test like every public school. All right. Makes sense to me. And that is not a dig at teachers, but let's be honest. Like, my kid takes tests all the time. Florida's test. I guess, where are we going with these models? Anthropic just released a $200 coding model, which I am going to try. I will suffer for you guys. I'm using OpenAI's. I'm using Cursor. I'm using Copilot. I've got this big comparison thing coming. You can still drive them all crazy and make them hallucinate. So we'll see. We'll see where we land. I'm giving it another month. I also have access to Gemini Pro 2.5, I think. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I wanted to have that ready for today, but again, it's like the tariffs. Every time I make progress, I write up the notes, something else comes out, right? So it will be ready when it's ready. Little bit of housekeeping for, oh, also, other people did write in feedback. If they were direct questions that just got answered in the Discord, I'm not going to bother. Like, when, like, someone, I don't know, someone had a question about some kind of, like, Linux server setting. I don't remember a lot, but it was some kind of IoT. Was it a Plex server? Something like some kind of media thing. So, but that is a great use of the Discord server. You should go there. A lot of cool people, often willing to help. Thank you again for, in advance, for the Stream Deck sound ideas. Obviously PG, right? So there we go. The Mad Botter Earth Day Challenge is still going on. If you are a US middle or high school student, go to DominicM.com. It's right there. You could win a free Thaleo. This is all going to be in the show notes. Next week, we will have an interview again. It's already in the can. We have actually a couple in the can. Yes, YouTube. I don't know what's going on with YouTube. The show shows up there. That's great. Feedback-wise, I try to check it. I generally don't. I strongly recommend, if you have feedback, either, like, DM me on, like, Twitter or LinkedIn. We used to have, like, 5 different places we could communicate with the community, and that is too much work. And frankly, I know I keep harping on this, but the Discord has, like, people are, like, finding jobs there. People are, like, passing around resumes. It's a community, even if you just mute it and go in when you want to go in, it's worth being involved in. So give it a go. Oh, the last thing I was going to cover, but I'm not, because I'm trying to get someone on the show who's an expert, was the job market for developers right now and the effects of AI on that as it pertains to junior developers hoping to have somebody on for that, but in conversations, the problem is not convincing them to come on. The problem is nobody's sure about what they want to say about this yet. Because again, like the tariffs, this AI stuff is so volatile right now. And this is me speaking, not this other individual. There's just a lot of bullshit, right? There's a lot of, you know, it's, and I get this too. And I definitely do some of this when I'm, you know, writing ads for Alice or whatever. There is a way you talk to the like investor people, you know, investor man or businessman that you're trying to sell something to. And then there's a different way you might talk to, I don't know, like the CTO or director of technology. So I definitely get that. One of the problems is, and correctly, you know, all the marketing by like say an Anthropic or an OpenAI is really geared towards the investor business guy and not like, what are we actually doing here? So trying to, people are hammering out some opinions there. Also, by delaying, we're going to have stats. I think the stats should come out in June, if not earlier. Or no, they would come out in May. It'd be, they come out in June for May for the preceding quarter. So instead of, you know, Vibe podcasting and saying, it seems like it's hard to get a job as a junior developer because people are, you know, moaning in the Discord and complaining on Reddit and all that stuff, there'll actually be numbers, theoretically, if the Department of Labor exists. And we can just look at those numbers and say, well, in fact, it is not true that junior development hires are super down. Or conversely, we might be saying, holy cow, don't shell out that $3,000 for that boot camp, right? You didn't get a job. So let's have the data first before you have the conversation is kind of where I and this potential guest landed. Last thing on AI, because I forgot about it, even though we're supposed to be in housekeeping now. It's just like Zuckerberg wildly suggested we get rid of all IP copyright law. So AI could hoover up more content. I don't know. I'm a little tired. Could I have AI'd this episode up? It's worth a no. In fact, here's a challenge. Somebody wants to send me via Discord. I'll take, how about this? An AI version of me in my voice preaching as though I was an evangelical preacher, the gospel of Objective-C. You know what? The best one, we'll give it a month. At the end of the month, the best one, I'll send some TMB swag. I've got some cool stuff. That would be good. Let's see how close we get. I know Chris and I did, what did we do? We had a, oh, that's right. You guys did the song. So there was the Ruby song. Yeah. So well, let's see like an actual like full-on sermon about Objective-C. Bonus points if you know, put Swift as the devil in there, because yeah, I'm not getting that Swift developer on next week. That's for sure. It's just, God, you can listen to the back catalog if you want to hear some spicy feelings on Swift. Yeah, that's just, I don't know, right? This is the problem. I don't know if we can actually get this done in terms of replacing, like, I just don't, I don't see the board wipe case where all junior developers or a large percentage of them get wiped out because of AI. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see what the numbers are. And of course, it's a never-ending game of, okay, this quarter, if the numbers are negligible or okay, well, it is a matter of time, right? We could John Syracuse on an infinite time scale, whatever. There's such a bad habit of particularly these startups that burn money like maniacs to overhype things, right? I mean, you know, anybody around my age is going to remember the startup scene of, you know, Silicon Valley did a good spoof on it. The startup founder is at a party and he says, when I was having lunch with Barack Obama, like, yeah, they were all like starry-eyed, whatever, we're going to change the world, liberals. And now they're like, we're going to wipe out all this employment. It just, the truth tends, like, I don't know if you don't know this, but these startups of that era did not, in fact, lead to a universal basic income, communist paradise, right? So we did not, as Andreessen, Mark Andreessen would point out to you, very famously did. We got Twitter, not flying cars, right? So there we go. As Ezra Klein would tell you, California could not build high-speed rail if their life depended on it. And yeah, take a look at, if you want to have some fun, follow the Chinese American, the Chinese embassy to the United States on Twitter. And at least yesterday, while I was frankly just killing time, they were posting their high-speed rail and all their infrastructure, and I was like, huh, maybe this isn't a technical problem. Maybe this is our system is broken and we keep throwing tons of money into hype bullshit. So that's something that I think Mark Andreessen had right, but continues to fund hype bullshit. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. We are certainly in a different era. And well, yeah, well, let's see what happens at the end of the month with the AI stuff, because who knows? I might be changing my tune, right? A little more data might light the way. Anyway, that's our show. We'll have another interview next week. Please go to coder.show. Please review on iTunes and hang out in that Discord. You can find me on Twitter at Dumanuko, and on LinkedIn. It's actually the same handle. I didn't even know that. Have a great day. Bye, Zeez.